Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
15 minutes after 5 is your time this afternoon, my family. Dadu Sandi Leswana, Dada, good afternoon, and thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much, Ayanda, and to the listeners of Radio Pulpit. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, we hope you had a wonderful weekend, Dada. We're certainly looking forward to today's conversation. Last week, I just want to again emphasize how we truly appreciate the boldness with which you have been able to steer us into understanding that the requirements of a leader according to the Word of God there's a certain standard, that is required of a leader according to the Word of God, and that there are consequences to us choosing not to adhere to that standard. I appreciate that so much, Dada, and we thank you so much for your teaching so far. And so today we want to look at, the focus is on the pre-election criteria, and perhaps we'll be able to look at how to then manage the failure, how to manage the failure of a leader when he does get into office and fails.
Yeah, let me put it this way first. I think, let's say today we deal with the issue that you are there, you are in assembly. You are a new church. I've been part of church planting, by the way. You are a new church forming. Now, the question is, this is Paul talking to his two disciples, actually. They had two different letters, one to Titus, one to Timothy, talking about the same thing. So now this is a situation where he's guiding his young apostles, if you want to call them that, to say, gentlemen, you are now going to select and appoint new leaders to lead those new assemblies or new churches. Obviously, they've been working there, building up the people, discipling people, doing Bible studies and all that. So now is the time to formalize and institutionalize this thing, right? Now, I want to just alert people to this, to what it is that we're discussing. Before a fair process of selection takes place, the selection criteria must be known. Before selection, Now, I want to illustrate something here to you. It may help somebody, it may not, but I think I must say this. Growing up, I grew up among rugby playing people. My father was a rugby player and became a rugby administrator. So I was always at the rugby field. And I knew that when I grow up, I want to be a rugby player. One day, there I am at St. John's College in Umtata. I'm starting my first rugby training. And there was a thing there called the frog jump. An exercise called the frog jump.
It has become a dance these days, Dada. The young people dance, they do a dance to that sort of thing. Anyway,
So, and then, a frog jump is good. Maybe you think it's going to be 10 meters. But this fellow who was training us, his idea was that you do a frog jump around the field at a goal. Somewhere as we were doing this, I felt that this man had evil intentions of killing me. So he had all these ideas. Then we finished training, and we are now running back to the school. And then as we get to the bottom of the hill, because our school was on top of the hill, then he starts this program thing uphill this time. It was another nightmare. It was chaotic. But I want to say this, that at the end of it all, I became a captain of that team. I played first team rugby. I became first team captain at the end of it all. At the end of it all, I got selected to play for Transkei Schools a few times. But when it was starting, it was challenging.
Sure.
To the point that I was not sure if I would ever measure up to the standard.
Yeah.
So I want the people who are listening to this not to think that the things that God is asking us to be and to do are the things that we are not equipped to do and that doesn't have the ability to give you grace to actually do those things the way he said they must be done. So the grace that we're talking about, so Paul says in another place, I worked harder than all the other apostles, but it was not I that worked.
Sure.
Right? So it is the grace of God that works in us. It is the might of God that works in us. So your job is to say, no matter whether you feel defeated at this stage, to say, look, at the end of the day, God called me to do this thing. If he has called me to do this thing, eventually I'm going to do it and do it correctly. So that's the first thing I want everybody, so that people are not afraid when we read out these requirements and when we discuss them. They must not be afraid of that, because God is wise enough. So let us then go to Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. For this reason, I left you behind in Crete, that you might set right what was defective and finish what was left undone, that you might appoint elders and set them over the churches in every city as I directed you. So Paul is making sure there is structure and order. That is part of government. In every assembly, in every city. These elders should be men who are of unquestionable integrity and are irreproachable. So these are not people who are known for lying, for stealing, for doing questionable things. These are people against whom there are no suspicions.
A man above reproach.
Yes. The husband of but one wife. These are men who are not womanizers, whose children, I'm reading the Amplified Classic Edition, whose children are well-trained and are believers, not open to the accusation of being loose in moral conduct or unruly and disordered. Right? So what we then learn from this is that for you to be considered a public leader, and you look at the church as a public entity and your home as a private entity. So your home is a training ground where you are able to train the members of your household to live the kingdom lifestyle. And the kingdom lifestyle is also about developing the hearts and minds and the consciences of people. People then are able to do the right thing because their consciences tell them that this is the right thing to do. And they are able to avoid doing the wrong thing because their consciences tell them. So you don't need to be there as a father or a mother because you have trained them. If you remember that Joseph, as an example, said that when the wife of this fellow, Potiphar, whatever his name was, comes along to stay, look, Joseph, come and have sex with me. Come over here. And she's got all the Victoria's Secrets and all the perfumes and everything looks good. And Joseph says, how can I do this evil thing
to my master?
Yes, nobody is seeing me, but my God will not accept this.
Sure.
I cannot live well with my God after doing this. I'm living this alone. So the children and the men that we are and the elders that we try to become should be people with a conscience. And conscience is developed through regular use. It's developed through learning by practice to make correct decisions. And your children, when people look at your children, must say these children, and it is often said that these children come from a good home. They come from a discipling home. They come from a discipling mother and father who is training them to govern themselves well in the absence of the presence of the parents. For the bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless.
Sure.
Not self-willed or arrogant or presumptuous. It also means that you have a spirit of humility. You are able to see other human beings as the true image of God and respect them as the true image of God, whether that person is 5 years old or 95 years old, 25 years old or 75 or 50 or 40. They know when they come to you, you are going to give them a proper hearing. You are not going to give a conclusion before you've heard anything. You are not going to be high-minded. And everything that you do, and I want to make this mistake, and we want to make this point, but we won't dwell with it. You know, I once participated in a meeting and I learned a lesson that there is a time when people trust you to the point that when you give them even a negative report that we're attempting to do these things have not gone our way. They know that when you give that report, it is a sincere report.
Sure.
They know that by the time you come to them to give them a report that we have not succeeded in our original intention at this point, that you have tried with the last ounce of energy to succeed in that thing as a leader. And you have not succeeded. It was not a half-hearted effort. So, he must not be quick-tempered. He must not be given to drink. In other words, you are found sometimes to be a little bit drunk.
Sometimes a little bit.
And we are supposed to make judgments about matters that affect church members and the assets of the church, as well as the direction of the church. And we are being led by the Spirit, but this Spirit is very functional. It says here the leader must not be pugnacious. In other words, he must not be a fighting type, a violent type. She must not be a grabber of things and a greedy for money, a greedy for profit. But she must be hospitable, loving, and a friend to believers. You must be able to visit the home of the leader and get a cup of tea and a scone. Sometimes when people are short of a place to sleep, they must be able to sleep there, and so on. It must be hospitable.
Sure.
She must be hospitable, especially to strangers and foreigners. Come on, somebody. She must be hospitable, especially to strangers and to foreigners. He must be a lover of goodness, of good people, and of good things. In every community, you know, I was once involved in a project, and I was working with a certain man called Gilbert. Sorry to mention people's names. But this client started fighting with Gilbert. And I was more senior than Gilbert. And I knew that nobody must fight with Gilbert. Gilbert is the type of person you don't attack. He is a good man. He is sincere. He is honest. So what are you doing attacking a good man? I had to defend Gilbert. Are you getting me?
No, absolutely.
So you must be a lover of good people and good things. You must be sober-minded if you are going to be selected as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says you must be sober-minded, you must be sensible, you must be discreet, you must be upright, you must be fair-minded, you must be devout and religiously correct, temperate, and keeping himself in hand. There are people, when they see something wrong, they lose it. I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody says, I lost it.
Yes, Ed. No, absolutely.
I lost it.
In fact, what I'd like us to do, actually, Dada, before you get into that, we need to cross over now to the news, right? It's 31 after 5, my family. When we come back, can I just request like 5 minutes just to ask questions and see if we can process those, Dada? One of those questions that I'd like to ask is, I see the criteria that you're going through, but where do we find these leaders, kahle kahle? You know, because when you look around, I don't know. Like, where do we find these leaders? That's the first question. And maybe to even take it further, you know, can we still find such caliber of leaders in our time? And if not, you know, what then happens if we absolutely cannot find such caliber? And I think the second question, Dada, around, you know, this whole thing of a standing for righteousness and justice. Yeah, it's, I don't know if I want to open this can of worms now, but righteousness and justice means different things to different people. And I think in the context of South Africa, it's a muddy area, you know, because different people see righteousness and justice from different points of view, others from religion, others from culture, you know, it means, you know, so what then can be that access point? And if we can maybe define, you know, goodness, righteousness, justice from that access point, if we can do that, please, after we come back from the news, yeah?
Cool.
Dr. Sandile Swana, my family, is our guest this afternoon, and will be until we get the hang of what exactly we need to look at when selecting leaders, perhaps for our churches, but certainly as citizens of this country. 33 after 5, we now cross over to have a look at the latest in the news, and we'll look at your traffic update as well as the weather for tomorrow.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
As easy as the touch of a button. The Message of Life on 657 AM.
Dr. Sandile Swana, my family, is on standby and in conversation with us at two questions on the table this afternoon. There is a certain caliber of leaders that is prescribed by the Word of God. Where do we find these leaders? Should the church be central in cultivating these leaders, and how? Secondly, we are also wanting to investigate, you know, when we talk about goodness, when the Bible talks about goodness, what does that look like in practice? Righteousness and justice, you know, whose report of righteousness and justice do we go by, especially as such a culturally, racially, politically diverse nation? Whose report do we go by? Is there a definition that we can all gravitate towards as we seek after appointing and developing leaders that are righteous, that are above reproach, that are in line with God's requirement of a righteous leader?
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Dada, good afternoon, and thank you again for standing by for us. Let's maybe go straight into the questions.
Yeah. So, I am going to Let me answer your question this way. Mm-hmm. Where do you find these leaders? Because maybe the question is trying to say, it looks like they're looking for people that do not exist. So let me then explain some of the, I'll explain it this way.
Mm.
That if you are a scientist, you don't invent the truth. You discover the truth that is there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it may be new to you, but it is not new to God.
Mm.
Right? So the fact that there are certain things that you don't know must not make you to think that they don't exist. So, in every discipline of life, in everything in life, there is a truth that is there, that a human being has to go through a number of processes and discover what that truth is. So, the principles that are revealed in the Word of God, they are the truth that God has chosen to reveal to us.
Mm.
And they are the truth about the concrete life that we live on a daily basis, about the real world. So when somebody discovers the force of gravity, or that a seed grows when you put it under the ground, it was new to you, but not new to God.
Sure.
So when God said there's seed time and harvest time, he knew what he was talking about. You may not have experienced it time and harvest time, but God knows. So then let's come to this. So what I'm trying to say to you is that truth in the final analysis is truth. For instance, the force of gravity is truth. Whether you are a Christian, you are a communist, you are a Muslim, truth is truth. Because it's created by God. So, when I was doing one of my studies on leadership, Christian leadership, I did my research on the St. Anthony's Vocational Center, FET College.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied Christian vocational centers across Africa. But I was studying leadership, the leadership of the leader. And in the process of doing that, I was studying one of the leaders of St. Anthony's against certain criteria. So when you do this now, you have to, he was already late, by the way, he was already dead. So I had to use documents to discover about him. So then what you will surprise you is when you study books like Good to Great, as to, for instance, in the research they did for Good to Great, they took about more than 1,000, about 1,500 companies to see which companies were the best performing, that were worth studying as best performing companies. Out of that 1,500, it was only about 11 that they felt were worth studying further. And they went on and they eventually discovered that what is the supreme quality of the best leader? Number one, humility. These were not Christians who were doing this study. These were hardcore researchers led by Jim Collins. Humility. What does God, is humility one of the things that God calls us to do? Humility. Two. The second one was that these were people who were ambitious, but never ambitious for themselves. The only ambition they had to the point of death was the fulfillment of a mission.
Sure.
So this person would not even be a person who would be wearing a Pierre Cardin suit. When you meet with him, he would be wearing clothes from Clef. but he is outperforming all the CEOs on the stock exchange. And this person, and these names are there in the book. If you read the book called Good to Great by Jim Collins, it's there. In fact, I'm studying that again, but I was using it to write my dissertation those years ago. Similarly, one of the doyens is late now, Warren Bennis, that I used, and defined the competence of their leaders. And he discovered what makes the absolute, absolute top leader. It was interesting that when he looked at this thing, and it surprised him that all the leaders that he met, who were great leaders, were no equal in their field, were actually very good family men and family women. These were people who had, who were able to give clear vision to people. And the greatest characteristic that they had was honesty and integrity. So what I'm trying to say to you is that the people who study the world without Christian spectacles discover what God prescribed for lead, for good leaders. I don't know if you're understanding me. The scholars who study the real world, public sector, private sector, the army, everywhere, the best and the top leaders were people actually, when you try to compare the qualities that were discovered by empirical research, they correspond back to what God had said. These are the qualities you must look for. And we have lists of names of those people. Right?
Sure. So, that's a challenge.
So these people, in every community where you go, and you do cell group work, you do mission work, the qualities that are needed, you will start to notice them. You don't notice them in a meeting when you are that city. There must be projects. There must be work to be done.
Right.
As you go through the work, you see these ones who like to be quick to go and die under the shade before the rest is done there. Others who always need a quick cup of coffee. So, true practical projects that need to be done, qualities emerge, facing adversity, doing all those things, then it discovered that no, these are the most trustworthy ones. And you sit again and you sit again, and then you say, this is the remainder, the remnant. Do you remember, who was that? Was it Gideon? Who said, now, when he got to the river to drink, and I think it was God who said, it looks like we have too many men here. There's a mixture of cowards here as well who might damage this war effort. Can we then do a selection? Those who don't lap the water, who drink like gentlemen, send them home.
That's amazing.
So that was a pre-selection. So there was a pre-selection and an elimination process. So we are now at this juncture teaching about the pre-selection process. We are not yet in the field, in the mission field. We are not yet saying we are now the soldiers of Christ in the battlefield. No. This is the pre-selection.
Dada, let me just ask. So the emphasis on pre-selection, does that suppose that within this process, one who, by hearing this teaching, for example, looks at themselves and realizes, I don't qualify, does the whole issue of pre-selection suppose that, you know, a person still has a window period to improve?
Yes, it is exactly like that. Because you see, you'll forgive me for keep making examples about rugby.
It's fine, it's so spotted.
So, when it comes to rugby, for instance, I played wings. So, there, If you go to the Springboks website, the South African Rugby Springboks website, then you ask the minimum fitness requirement. There they then tell you that if you are playing this position, you must be able to do a deadlift of this much, a bench press of this much, you must be able to jump this high.
Mm.
So that you don't even disturb them by contacting them if you have not yet met those little requirements that are publicly stated.
The minimum requirements.
Right? Yeah. So, we're not yet talking about the skills. We're not yet talking about that. Talking about the minimum fitness requirement. So, in the church, the James, I think it is James, who says, do not presume, many of you should not presume to be teachers.
Mm.
Many of you should not presume to be teachers.
Sure.
Right?
Mm.
Now, the word presume, it means you make an assumption ahead of time that it looks like I can crack it.
Mm.
But then some, this thing that you want to be has got criteria that you may not be able to meet. Don't jump into this. Are you kidding me?
No, siakuva tada.
So, Oti, James, James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers.
Because
self-constituted censors and reprovers of others. My brethren, for you know that we, the teachers, and he's the teacher, is an apostle himself, will be dealt by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume greater accountability and there more condemnation.
Let me try, and I know we haven't even dealt with question number two, which I think if we start now, it might just get us into a thicket, you know, we won't be able to finish it. Let me just summarize. So, number one, where do we find these leaders? Actually, we can find them as we continue to do the work that is required because, you know, leaders are not sitting in a special container waiting to be picked. No, they are everyday people who are doing everyday things that are required, serving the people and doing what is needed to be done. Yes, number one.
Number one.
Yes. Number two, Dada, I'm hearing that, in fact, there is... the pre-selection, the requirements to pre-selection are actually, they are standard, they are standing, they will not change. But actually, it's a great opportunity for someone like me, like anyone else who knows they fall short, to actually just work at improving, you know, those pre-requirements. So we shouldn't feel under pressure, you know, to appoint Ayanda because she's got a charismatic personality when we know very well that she does not even meet those minimum requirements, you know, like there are no minimum requirements. And number three, I'm also hearing that a great warning around the issue of scripture, you know, that says that there's a standard, but also there's a consequence. And that consequence speaks to the fact that when we are evaluated, we are going to be evaluated at the required standard, not at the standard at which we are able to deliver.
Absolutely so.
Sure. Wow. Okay. No.
See, yeah. So people have got different beliefs. You remember that we belong to big families, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I visited, you know, I was chatting with one of my relatives, the main relative.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And abantu bayithathenga umoya wesonto lento engizoyikhuluma. Then this relative, the main relative friend of mine, he says to me, hey, you know, Sandile, I discovered something that on a weekend, Nkosikazi likes to have breakfast, me to have breakfast at home every morning on a weekend on Saturday and Sunday.
Mm.
It appears that this charity has not yet dawned to him since he got married. I think by that time he had been married for 15 years. It has not yet occurred to him that is part of the dream ngathi uqala ngepijama ekuseni phaya ufake izipa.
When you are married. Tata, you don't think it's in fact, part of the minimum requirements is that you must be able to spend your weekends, you know, in pajamas having breakfast at home.
So you, if you are missing out on that, then you start improving. So that the Bible says that, you know, you must not upset your wife because your prayers will not reach heaven.
Sure.
You know, so you start learning which are these things that I must do, little things I must do. You are also making your wife happy this time, but you are actually improving in your leadership from the other hand.
That is amazing.
In meeting God's standards.
No, that is amazing.
Some people just don't know these things. They've never been told.
No, it's true. Right? No, it's true, Dad. It's true. Ditala say bamba apo for today, Dad, so that we don't spoil the second. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm going to be thinking about a lot about rugby today, about frog jams. I'm joking. But we were really edified. And thank you so much for really allowing yourself, Dada, as a teacher, to teach according to our pace. You know, I know that I'm slowing you down in this teaching, and I know that it might disadvantage other people, but you know, as you say, there's a chunk of people to whom we owe the responsibility to teach this and to ensure that it is taught, you know, as thoroughly as possible. So thank you so much for your time, Dada. We look forward to next week. Can we start next week by answering the question about the issue of justice and righteousness, on whose standpoint, and what is, you know, if we are saying that the word of God, you know, is that access, then what does that look like in practice? You know, if you had to put a secular, what would we say that is, you know, in practice? Yes. No, Dada. And then if we would like to get in touch with you, where do we find you?
I am on Facebook, and I have a Facebook page called Rehoboth Bible Seminar. But if you Google, you'll always find my email address. You'll find my phone numbers, and I do answer my phone.
Fantastic, Dada. We appreciate you, and thank you, and have yourself a really blessed week ahead.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Sandile Swana, my family, this conversation is going somewhere. Governance in the church. We're looking at leadership as a subtopic this afternoon. We continue with that next week, Monday, between 5 and 6. I would like to close off our time by thanking so much but Celimpilo siyabonga baba. Celimpilo is Zulu speaking, and so he wrote to us to say, hey, and me and my family are actually listening, but now I am already Zulu, and so babu Celimpilo then wrote to us, ngokuba imicabango yami ayisiyo imicabango yenu nezindlela zenu asizizo izindlela zam usho uJehova. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it, Dada. I really would have preferred, you know, to get a non-Zulu speaking person to actually send us a voice note. Let's try. I mean, you've heard me butcher all sorts of languages. My family, the important thing is to show some kind of effort. It is to show that we are willing to try, even if we fail. Here's Erica Campbell, and this is how we end Spectrum on a Monday afternoon. Appreciate once again AFM Fellowship out in Tembisa under the leadership of Pastor Magawudi. We absolutely appreciate you, Nomam Magawudi, sir. Thank you so much to Pastor Arthur. We will be playing some of the clips from our visit on Friday on Spectrum, my family, so please stand by and look out for it. I also wanted to let you know, my fam, that you know, to the family that won the Balisa pads pack on Friday, we will be in touch with you. Apologies that, you know, we got off air. You know, I was told that we were off air for the better part of the final part of our program, but we're certainly working to ensure that that does not happen. Erica Campbell, the question.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life. A winning team on the road to eternity.